Turn to Hebrews chapter 13, and kind of like as normal when we get back from Peaks, usually some of the stuff is, whoever's preaching it, is kind of incorporated in the sermon a little bit, and it's going to be a little bit today, the same thing, but I think the one of the biggest things that the theme was the full armor of God this last week. And the point of it was, the point that was made, I guess, is the mindset and our attitude is important, and how we view things, how we view what our purpose is in the world, and what God wants us to do, and that's going to make a big difference on how we execute for our King. Okay, and so that's important for us in our attitude, and so and in our mindset. So in Hebrews 13, it's going to kind of go along the same lines. And again, like last week, the point we made last week, or one of the points, I guess, is that when he is talking here, he's talking about Jesus suffering outside the camp in verse 11, or how the animals were burnt outside the camp. And so Jesus also, in verse 12, actually, suffered outside the gate. He left the holy place, if you will. Okay, he left where he was, and he suffered, and he was outcast for the purpose of saving people. And so in verse 13, the writer of Hebrews is saying, hence let us go out to him outside the camp and bear his reproach. And we talked last week is that we have to be willing, I mean, just like Jesus was outcast, just like Jesus went through suffering, we have to make up in our mind where we're willing to do that too. Okay, and it's easier said than done, and that's why it's a mindset we have to work on. And so he emphasizes in verse 14 that we have a lasting city, not here, but a city to come yet. And so he ends with that, but it doesn't really end with that. But he makes that point because it's an encouraging. Looking past the suffering is essential to getting through the suffering. We can't look and sulk in how tough the suffering is and expect to get through the suffering. You know, there's a lot of people that go through suffering, and you have a choice of whether we want to just woe is me and be the victim in the suffering, or whether we're going to understand that, hey, yeah, it's suffering and it's tough, but we're going to get through the suffering. Okay, and so in verse 15, when the writer of Hebrews here goes, he says, he continues here then, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. So the sacrifice of praise, and sacrifice is a word that you know, it's not something that the world likes to do. You know, it's tough for them to give up chocolate during Lent. You know, that's the whatever they, you know, I don't practice Lent or whatever, but that's the idea is that, well, man, I'm gonna give up, it's really a tough deal. I'm going to give up chocolate or whatever it is. It's tough for the world because the world doesn't, the world is a slave to their flesh. They don't make their body a slave to God. They are a slave to their flesh. And so they can't, well, it's so hard to not have chocolate for a while. And so that's a little example. So the word sacrifice is not something that the world is accustomed to, because it's all selfishness. What can I get out of it? And that's what the picture of the world has. So sacrifice is not a worldly concept necessarily, unless you're talking about sacrificing someone else for your own benefit. Okay, but self-sacrifice is not something that the world teaches or preaches. But God is saying here, the writer of Hebrews is saying that the sacrifice of praise is not only a sacrifice of praise that we do once in a while, but we're doing it continually, he says. This is a mindset that we have to get right. We have, in order to be able to do this continually, we have to have the correct mindset. We don't have, well, what can I get out of it? Yes, there is going to be benefit from the sacrifice of praise if we're righteous. But that's not the goal. That's not the purpose that we do that. The reward after is something that helps, and I'm not saying that's not okay to focus on or okay to look at. But why are we doing it? Are we doing it for selfish motives, or are we doing it because that's who we are, and that's what we want to do, because we want to serve. So we're talking about continually serving up or offering up a sacrifice of praise. I turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And Paul writes it here, a little different wording, but he makes the point in verse 31 that a valuable point of the simplest thing. So it's kind of common. I mean, if they went and through every example and used every example with every point that the New Testament writers made, then the books would be 10 times as long, and you wouldn't be able to fit all the examples in. And then you'd have one example that wasn't left in, it wasn't fit in there probably, exactly the wording. And so then some people, well, I don't have to do it this way. But the point is that he uses simple examples in verse 31. He says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So it's simple things, like even simple things in eating and drinking. But what does that have to do with giving glory to God? And we talked a little bit about I talked with some guys this week at Peaks from Kalispell. We were talking specifically about the Sabbath, what they did in the Jews, how they weren't keeping the Sabbath. Maybe they weren't as much, but the reason that they went into captivity is because every 7 years they had to let the yearly Sabbath, if you will. And so they had to let the land rest for a year. They didn't plant or anything. And so the point that I kind of was making is that they were skipping out on the weekly Sabbath. They weren't faithful in the weekly Sabbath. They weren't faithful in the small things. So no wonder they weren't faithful in the big one. So it wasn't, I mean, so God is working that. There's a purpose that he's saying, hey, this weekly Sabbath, you keep it. Because if they weren't even faithful in the little thing, they weren't even going to be faithful in the big one, and they weren't faithful with the little, so they weren't faithful with the big. And so it's and again, we're not under that, but the point is that if we're not faithful with something as simple as eating and drinking, how are we going to be faithful with something that's really we need to be trustworthy with, something that's really important? Whatever we do, whether we eat or we drink, do all of the glory of God. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And Paul writing here again in verse 17. And again, working on the mindset, because it's important. We're not going to be able to sacrifice continually the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of the lips. We're not going to be able to do that if our mindset is faulty, if our mindset's not on the correct things. So verse 17 of Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to be in Colossians here for a couple verses here, chapter 3. But verse 17, it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Okay, and so, and actually a little bit better translation, in the Greek, it could say, whatever you do in word or deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And what I'm saying, when I was looking at that, see, the implication is that they're already doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the emphasis isn't necessarily on, it's not this new instruction that the Colossians are getting here, that you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when we talk about doing that, when you were to, it's harder for us because we don't have the royalty and the kingship as much as that system. And so when you had a king, if you were doing something in the name of the king, you're doing it by his authority. Okay? And that was some of the concepts. It's important to kind of understand those concepts when we're looking at Scripture, because you talk about someone who is given authority through a leader of the church for some reason, like delivering a letter or whatever. They aren't working on their own initiative. They're working on God, on that authority. So Jesus even made the same thing, point about him and even about the Holy Spirit. He said the Spirit's not going to speak on his own initiative, but what was given to him by the Father. He's going to speak on the authority of the Father. Okay, so that idea is that when we're doing something in the name, we're doing it in the authority of the King. And so the Greek there, the word do, and I think in New American Standard, when it says whatever you do in word or deed, do all, that word do there, that second word for do, is in italics. That means that word isn't in the Greek. Okay, it's not in the original language. That was added by the translator to try and add emphasis. But the thing is that the emphasis is added to doing the name of the Lord Jesus, which is all good, except for I think that Paul is emphasizing something a little different. He's already implying that they're already going to be doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So since they're doing that, be giving thanks, he's saying. And this will be important when we're kind of coming a little later in today's in the message today, because it's important to have an idea of giving thanks, because when you get to the point of, when you get to the spot where it starts getting tough, it's a lot harder to give thanks. And that's why Paul's emphasizing here, whatever you do in word or deed, because it's not just simply, oh, whatever you do, because whatever they're doing, eventually there's going to be a roadblock. There's eventually going to be persecution. So whatever you're doing, do all, or whatever you're doing in the name of the Lord Jesus, do give thanks in it, he's saying. Keep right here. Actually, we're going to go back, two verses back in verse 15. So this is kind of setting a little bit of the stage here, but I kind of want to emphasize that first in verse 17. But in verse 15 it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." And so the purpose, so we're talking about doing everything we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, or in the name of the Lord Jesus, but give thanks in that. And Paul is saying here, just a little bit prior to that, the peace of God, a peace of Christ, or peace of God, will rule in our hearts. And the purpose of that is so we can be thankful. Or one of the purposes in that. Be thankful in doing that. Now that Greek word for, I guess we'll get to that in a second. First we're going to say, what is the peace of Christ? Keep your hand here and just turn a book back, just right behind Colossians, to the book of Philippians. Just a couple pages backwards. Philippians chapter 4. It's a couple pages back, Philippians chapter 4. Maybe one page, depends on your Bible, I guess. Philippians 4, we're going to look in verse 7 here. And Paul writing here again, he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So the peace of God is guarding our hearts and our minds. Okay, well, what is the, you know what he does, or what this peace of God does, and back in Colossians, we just had read that let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Okay? And Philippians says, let the peace of God guard your hearts and your minds. Keep your hand there in Colossians again and turn the other way, a couple books or just one book, to First Thessalonians chapter 5. So put your hand back in Colossians and go one book ahead. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and Paul is writing again here to those at Thessalonica, and in verse 8, he says, "But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." So you see that the helmet of salvation, or the helmet is the hope of salvation. Well, so Paul is writing to Christians here, and this is where the peak steel is coming in a little bit, because this is part of my message. I had the helmet of salvation was my armor piece that I had, that I spoke about. And so what is the helmet of salvation? Well, the helmet is a picture of guarding the mind, right? And we're talking about the peace of God surpassing all comprehension, guarding your hearts and your minds is what it says. And the heart and the mind are separate, but the heart and the mind are connected too, okay? Because it's really talking about the inner person. It's not physically my mind and my heart is talking about. It's talking about the inner man. Okay? And so he's saying that the helmet, that picture that we're getting from that armor, is that that helmet is guarding something, is protecting something. Okay, and what it says here, the helmet is the hope of salvation. And when we're talking, he's writing to Christians who already were saved. But we know that there's a salvation that's still yet to come. Because the salvation that's coming is when Jesus returns. In Hebrews chapter 9, he says he returns a second time for salvation without reference to sin. He's not coming again to deal, to forgive sins, and to restore the relationship with God and through the Holy Spirit. That's not what he's coming again for. That's already, he already came to do that. He's coming a second time to save his bride from the world, to bring her home. Okay, there's another salvation. So what he's saying there is that this helmet of the hope of salvation really is that salvation is really us being in glory. So you could say that the helmet is the hope of glory. Turn over back to Colossians then. And we're going to be in chapter 1 of Colossians. Chapter 1. So the helmet is guarding the mind of a salvation, and that salvation is the glory to come. And so it says in verse 25 of Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes again, "Of course, of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifest to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the mystery, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Or another way to say it is Christ in you is the hope of salvation. Okay? And we know that the helmet is the hope of salvation. So the helmet is not a what, the helmet is a who. Who is the helmet of salvation? Well, the helmet of salvation is Christ in you. Christ in you is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the helmet of salvation who guards our minds and guards our hearts. So the peace of God, let the peace of God, as Philippians says, guard our mind, that surpasses all comprehension, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So when we go to Colossians chapter 3 then, when we're talking about let the peace of Christ rule, the peace of Christ is the Holy Spirit. That Greek word for rule there means to act as an umpire. That's what that means. It's a watching over, and it's a guidance. So he's saying that the peace of Christ guide your hearts. Let the Holy Spirit guide. Let him be the umpire, is what he's saying. And so for that purpose, the Spirit guides us to have the right mindset in order to be thankful in our sacrifice. Because if we're not thankful, we don't have the mindset that we're going to be thankful, then we're not going to get through the sacrifice. You know, Job, we talked about this before. In Job, when Satan is accusing God, that, oh, you're just protecting Job. And it's translated, it says, if you take away the hedges there and you take away his protection, he's going to curse you. And that's a bad translation, because that Hebrew word doesn't mean to curse. That Hebrew word means that the Hebrew word means to not think. So what he's saying is that take away the hedges of Job, and Job isn't going to thank you, is what he's saying. See, it's not the way out here goal that Satan's trying to get. He's trying to get a little bit off. That's what he's trying. He's not trying to make every Christian convert to atheism. He's trying to get every Christian to be a little bit off. He's trying to get Job to be a little bit off. And therefore, it would have been wrong for Job. And that's what he's saying. He's not after Job just flat out cursing God. He's after Job not thanking God in the trial. Because if you don't thank God in the trial, and you don't have the right mindset, then it's a slippery slope. You're going to go downhill. Whatever you do in word or deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks in His name. That's what he's saying. That's the goal. I mean, give thanks through the trial. Because sacrifice, we have to have that mindset, because sacrifice is going to be tough. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, in verse 15 there again, when it says, offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to His name. That's actually a bad translation. The word give thanks means to speak the same. It means to confess. And it doesn't mean that I'm not saying we shouldn't be thankful in that, but the point is that we need to be able to be thankful in whatever we do in the name of the Lord Jesus with thankfulness. Because whatever we do in the name of the Lord Jesus eventually is going to, like, we're going to have to, when we should be already, but speaking the same things and agreeing with, that's what that word means, that the sacrifice of praise is the fruit of the lips. I'm not saying that praying isn't part of that. I'm not saying that singing isn't part of that, but it's definitely speaking the same as Jesus is. That's what he's saying. That's the point that he's trying to get there, is that, hey, we are, the fruit of the lips is where we are speaking the same in his name. We are agreeing with it. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 24. Jesus says here, a disciple is not above his master, his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he become as his teacher, and the slave as his master. If they called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? See, this is Jesus referencing here that the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders, were, you know, he doesn't cast out demons by God, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the chief of demons, is what they're saying. And Jesus is saying, if they're going to call the head of the house Beelzebul, what are they going to call you? You're not above me, he said. The slave's not above his master. The disciple's not above his teacher. If they call the teacher that, they're going to call the disciples that. See, if the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips, is agreeing with Jesus, we're going to have to speak what Jesus speaks. You know, the point was made this weekend in Marshall Harbor when he was talking about the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said that the apostles weren't thrown in prison because they were generally nice guys and socially acceptable. They were thrown in prison because they spoke what Jesus spoke. That's why they were thrown in prison. And people hated it. They were thrown in prison because they took a stand. Because they were agreeing with their master, King Jesus. And the world hates it. And if we don't have the mindset that we are going to go through that and that we're going to be willing to do that, okay, if we don't have that mindset, then we're not going to be able to go through it. If we don't have the mindset to be thankful, because Satan, all Satan wants to do is he wants us to get us not to be thankful in the trial. He's not necessarily looking for a 180-degree turn and completely cursing God and being atheists. He's looking for us to be short. He's looking for us to not fully give God the credit. And so that's an important mindset for us to be able to have. We have to prepare for that. As part of a little bit the helmet of salvation, the Holy Spirit is guarding our minds there. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that. We can't take that off. If we grieve the Holy Spirit, I mean, we've talked about that before. If the Holy Spirit leaves us, we don't receive, the person is long gone. Not because the Holy Spirit wouldn't be forgiving. It's that person's so hard-hearted and his conscience is seared by like a branding iron that he doesn't want to anymore, or she doesn't want to anymore. But the goal of that is the helmet of salvation, the armor is put on for war. It's for battle. We're not looking to coast through this life pretty easy because we've had it pretty easy in America. And when we talk about the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts, that's 10 times more than just being able to read this one Bible verse every day. And that's pretty good, you know. That helps my conscience a little bit. That's all that's so shallow. And going through some of the stuff preparing for my message, you see that some of the shallow responses that people had for the helmet of salvation. And we might be looking through that a little bit. Not that I'm kind of partial to my message, but we might be doing that a little bit, watching some of those videos in some classes maybe. But the point is that the people have such a shallow view of what that is. Because if it's just a simple, well, God loves us as the peace of Christ. Well, that's a peaceful thought. That's not what it is. If we don't have the peace of Christ, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we can't begin to be thankful in the trial and be prepared for it. We have to examine ourselves and make sure we have the Holy Spirit. Turn to, keep your hand here. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13. Keep your hand in Matthew chapter 10 there, though. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 13. Paul writing here again. And this is a pretty common used verse, the first half is. So test yourselves to see whether you are of the faith, he says in verse 5. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you have failed the test? See, the people have talked about testing yourselves. They stop at the test, you know, were you saved right? It's kind of the general idea that people will use that in testing yourselves. But what Paul says there, what is the testing? The testing is whether or not Jesus Christ is in you. Whether or not you have the Holy Spirit, that's testing. That's the line of the test. Do you have the Holy Spirit or not? It sounds what he says in Acts 19. When he meets those 12 disciples in Acts 19, he says, hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they didn't even know whether there was a Holy Spirit or not. That was the test of whether or not they were Christians. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the peace of Christ? Does the peace of Christ rule in your heart? Is what he's saying. Unless you fail the test. We have to first be able to have the peace of Christ in our hearts in order to be able to pass the test, if you will, later on. In order to be able to go through the sacrifice and fully carry out the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of the lips, which is speaking the same things that Jesus spoke. And if we're speaking the same things that Jesus spoke, we can pretty much expect to receive exactly what Jesus received because he spoke those things. They couldn't accuse him of anything. They had to make up lies, and even that, they really didn't have much to kill him on. But their hatred for him because of what he said, it was, he held them to a standard, and they hated it. And that's what, when we talk about people who don't like what we say, it's because their conscience bugs them. Because it bothers them. Because they're not to that level. And the only way to get there, instead of rising to that level, they want to bring us down. They want to get rid of us. And we have to expect that. Turn back to Matthew 10. So Jesus there, again, when he says that, is that a disciple is not above his teacher. A slave is not above his master. If they did this to the head of the house, you better expect them to do it to you. Verse 26, he says, therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim on the housetops. See what he's saying there? Don't fear them. Okay? Have this attitude. Go forward. Put on the armor. Go into battle. Because nothing that they do secretly is going to stay hidden. It's going to be revealed sometime. And they're going to get their punishment sometime. But you do your job, and you go to the housetops, and you go and you proclaim it in the light. And you what I am telling you now, it's not getting proclaimed to the whole world because I'm telling you this. You go spread it. Put on your helmet. Put on your armor. Have the mindset that, hey, I'm going to get through this sacrifice, because I'm going to agree with what Jesus says, and I'm going to speak the same things that Jesus speaks. And if they kill me, they kill me. Turn to verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. And are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Therefore, do not fear, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. Everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. And he continues on there, but we're going to stop there. Because the point is, see, sometimes we fear, well, what's going to happen? Because our mindset is on what happens here. You know, sometimes it's easy to say, well, if I'm going to put myself out there and I'm going to go ahead and preach the gospel, I'm going to speak the same things as Jesus speaks. Well, what's that going to happen to me? You know, what do you think? Do you think Peter ever thought of that? Thought about his family when he's out there, when he's in prison in Acts chapter 12, or when he's getting persecuted? Because Peter was married. Think you ever thought about that? That, well, what's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to my wife? Who's going to watch out for them? So Peter had the mindset that, hey, I'm going to still do this because this is what the body is about. Because if you think Peter died, you think that John wouldn't have helped out with his family? Think that Paul wouldn't have been there for his kids? What about Andrew, his brother? Think Andrew would have been there for his kids if Peter died? See, that's the mindset we got to have, is that sometimes the soldiers on the front line get killed and the other soldiers in the back are going to finish the battle. Don't fear him. You see, God doesn't... Two sparrows aren't sold for a cent. Not one of them falls to the ground without God knowing it. Aren't we worth more than sparrows? Turn to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6. He says, humble yourselves, therefore. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. See, God's not asking us to go and just sacrifice and just forget completely about our families. God's asking us to trust him that the Holy Spirit can actually work in your kid's life or your wife's life or your family's life after you're gone. Your example can be an example to them. Cast your anxieties upon that. I'm not saying it doesn't bring anxiety, but you have to cast that upon God. You have to let God worry about that, because you got to remember that God was able to work in you. He's not able to work in your kids or your wife or your parents or your siblings, or your aunts, or your uncles, or your grandparents, and your grandchildren, nieces and nephews. But maybe the thing that they need is to see your example. See, Peter is saying this here. Peter, a guy who was married, had kids, and probably maybe had grandkids. Think he might have been worried about their salvation a little bit? But he's saying, cast all your anxieties upon him and go forward and speak the same of Jesus and be expecting to receive the same treatment that Jesus received. Even going through that, casting your anxieties upon God, being thankful in that, because it's pretty easy to not be thankful, but be thankful in that. Because God's got it under control. God cares for you. God cares for us. He's not the type of God that's just asking us just to... we're not pawns that just get used. We're servants that get rewarded if we're faithful. In verse 8, we'll continue on there of 1 Peter 5. Be sober in spirit and be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that's an important thought too, because we are not serving a king that's going to be overthrown. We're serving a king that's going to have dominion forever. Cast our anxieties upon Him. Be thankful in the trial, because if we don't have that mindset, we're not going to be able to carry out fully the sacrifice of, continually carrying out the sacrifice of praise. It's not just simply in the drink or the food. It's not simply in just a few deeds that we do. Well, I'm doing whatever I'm doing. I'm helping the old lady across the street or whatever. I'm doing that in the name, you know, the glory of God, which is good. But that's not, doesn't stop there. Those are little things and character ideas or character, God working on our character through those little things, so that when the big things come, we're going to be able to be faithful in the big things, and we're going to be able to fully carry out the preaching of the gospel and understand that the Holy Spirit is going to help us through that, and we're going to be able to continually offer up the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of the lips, which is speaking the same as Jesus. And we're not going to do that without having the right mindset first. We have to have a selfless mindset, that God's going to take care of that. This is not a command, like, you can get into a legal style of command where, well, just have joy. Just have joy. You know, put on the smile. And I'm not saying there's not times where that maybe has to be put on, but if you don't have something deeper than that, then eventually it's going to be too tiring to put on the smile. You have to understand that, hey, I want to do this for God. I want to do this. And through the suffering, you know, we're going to have to go through it, but if we're not thankful in that, because it's a selfless sacrifice. Any sacrifice is selfless. I mean, maybe even chocolate, if you want to say that. I don't know how selfless that is, but I mean, any sacrifice that's worthy of us being called a sacrifice, I guess, is selfless. And we're not going to be able to do that if we're not first thankful. And we're not going to be able to do that if we don't have the right mindset. And if we have a selfish mindset, we're definitely not going to be able to do that. Let's make sure that we have our mindset trusting God so we can be faithful, understanding that He's going to care for us too, and that He does care for us. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for this day, and we thank You, Father, for Your encouragement in Your scriptures, Father, that yeah, not only if we speak the same as You, if we fully carry out the preaching of the gospel and preach convicting words to a world that's lost, Father, the world's going to hate us. But Father, there's going to be some people that need to hear that message and see our example, and they're going to be obedient, Father, and it's going to be worth it, Father. Help us to have that goal. Father, help us to have a selfless attitude so that we can, when we get to the trials, that we are willing to continue pushing through that for You, Father, and with thankfulness. And Father, we thank You for Your promise that You will have dominion forever. We thank You, Father, for the opportunity to serve You, and the confidence that brings, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.